This is BSD. Hello, I'm Chris Stevenson.
And I'm Gianluca Baroni.
And welcome to the Media Weekly podcast from PhD. On the show, we and some very special guests break down each week's media agenda, making some leaps into what it all means for communications and marketing. Gianluca, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you, Chris. These days, I've been obsessed by the TV show The Last of Us, and I think the finale is out now, so I cannot wait to get to that.
I've not got around to that yet. My obsession in the media world is Monster Hunter Rise on PlayStation 5. I make no apologies. I am obsessed and loving it. And Hunter Rank 7 already, for those of you listening who that will mean anything to, Hunter Rank 7 and progressing.
I have never heard of it, but I trust that it's amazing.
It very much is. Gianluca, enough of this. What is coming up on this week's episode?
So I'm actually so excited about this week's episode because this week I sat down with PhD Global Strategy Director Sophia Perez to chat all things generative AI, what it is, how it's evolving, and importantly, how it's already impacting how we work as marketers and how we communicate with consumers. So we'll be getting into what marketers can do right now to leverage the generative AI opportunity for their brands, whilst also understanding the risks and ethics involved in this rapidly evolving space. So really exciting, right?
Amazing. Yeah, I mean, it is exciting. And it's worth, for anyone listening, just reiterating that when we say generative AI, we're specifically talking about deep learning algorithms that are used to generate new data from existing data. So that can be in the form of text, like ChatGPT, or realistic images, like Midjourney, but even audio and increasingly video, and down the track, whole environments just created from text or other video inputs. So it's really a content creation impact that we're talking about, right?
Absolutely. I mean, AI is such a fast-moving space, as we know. You know, there's new news coming out every day, it seems. Even just the other day, creative director Eric Groza revealed how he crafted a viral collaboration between IKEA and Patagonia using generative AI, which involved a lot of iterations as part of the creative process. What started off as a personal experiment then led to executives at IKEA reaching out to express their interest. So it's just such a fascinating space.
Yeah, I mean, and anyone who thinks this might not be relevant to them, it's estimated that at least 50% of all online content will be generated by augmented by AI within the next 10 years. And arguably that could be conservative. So anyone who's in the business of leveraging or creating or using content, the ability to do that generatively and the ability to harness this technology is absolutely relevant to you. And it's coming down the track hard and fast.
Definitely. As you can imagine, all of this is triggering a lot of debate around creativity and who is most empowered to deliver on it between humans and machines. But as we'll hear from Sophia, the generative AI tools out there only do what you ask them to, and it's up to you to refine your briefs and your prompts to get you to where you need to get to. So they effectively become a tool in your creative skill set, rather than something that replaces you entirely. So I think a perspective that's less doom and gloom there. And I think it's a great stance that marketers can take on board to stay curious and see if generative AI is something they might want to start experimenting with.
Absolutely. We are definitely tech positive on this podcast. And we're definitely of the opinion that every major technical revolution has created more jobs, more roles, more work for humans to do than previously. The trick is working out what that is and embracing it.
100%. And that's all coming up on the Media Weekly. But before we get into that, it's over to Angela Rapley for the Media Weekly News.
Thanks, Gianluca. First up, the 2023 WARC Media 100 has been revealed, with PhD Worldwide making the leap from third position in 2022 to number two this year in the ranking of the world's most awarded campaigns, coming just behind Essence MediaCom, who grabbed the top spot. A benchmark for media excellence, the WARC Media 100 tracks the performance of campaigns, brands, and agencies at the most influential advertising media competitions worldwide. PhD is also celebrating the campaign Break of Silence for Inlesco being crowned number one in the world's most awarded campaigns for media. The aim of the winning campaign was to raise awareness of the challenges facing the deaf community in Costa Rica, so the team created the country's first silent TV commercial break, 100% interpreted in sign language. PhD's success continued with local office PhD San Jose in Costa Rica, scoring in the three most effective media agencies, with a total of six PhD agencies ranked in the WARC Effective 100. No doubt the champagne will be popping across PhD offices this week. And keeping on the WARC theme, next up is some new research from independent consultancy Appraise and WARC, which reveals that strong client-agency relationships are not only good for working culture, but actually lead to more effective work. Analysis of the Effectiveness in Marketing Awards, otherwise known as the Effies, shows that the winners had stronger relationship scores than most other companies on Appraise's overall database. The study, Do Stronger Relationships Produce Stronger Results?, outlines where the strongest, most effective relationships excel and points to where brands and agencies should focus their efforts in developing an effective culture in the partnerships they build. Among the key findings were that across the board, relationship scores were stronger in client-agency pairings that had won an effectiveness award, with 68% of agencies that had been awarded for effectiveness being scored above average by their clients, and 67% of clients that had been awarded for effectiveness being scored above average by their agencies. According to the study, where relationships excel is across strategy, where both sides need to get involved in order to produce great marketing ideas, relationships where there's a high degree of trust, and lastly, ones where conflict is not allowed to go unaddressed. Food for thought for us all. Next up, there was an interesting story in the Financial Times this week about companies turning to TikTok as UK labour shortages bite. As the economic outlook for 2023 grows more uncertain, several major companies in the UK, including Amazon and supermarket giants Asda and Tesco, are adding TikTok into their recruitment arsenal as the country experiences a shortage of labour. The brands are among a handful of groups that have injected £30,000 each into a campaign using the video hosting site to promote jobs in the logistics industry, which has been hit particularly hard by the combined forces of Brexit, the online shopping boom, and the pandemic. The TikTok initiative is part of a government-backed plan, Generation Logistics, aimed at young Britons to attract data analysts, robot engineers, and skilled graduates to help logistics businesses meet our voracious appetite for next-day delivery. TikTok is proving to be a great platform for companies to open their doors to prospective employees in creative ways, with many sharing behind-the-scenes content, office tours, interviews with employees, and day-in-the-life videos. And brands like Duolingo, Google, and The Washington Post are just a few of those jumping on the TikTok recruitment train. And finally, in the midst of this Women's History Month, we ask the probing question, can AI tools be sexist? Well, a recent study conducted by creative comms agency One Green Bean would seem to think so. Alongside ChatGPT and DALL-E, another AI tool making a lot of waves is AI art generator tool Midjourney, which generates images based on specific text prompts. But when the agency asked the platform to generate images based on three senior job titles within the global leadership team, Managing Director, Executive Creative Director, and Head of Public Relations EMEA, the results revealed a clear male gender bias, throwing up photos of stereotypical suited middle-aged men and bearded hipster creative dudes. As well as that, when they extended the test and ran the top 20 highest paid jobs in the UK, from CEO to tax partner to pilot, a whopping 88% of the images reinforced male gender stereotypes. Further desk research using Midjourney revealed gender bias across a huge variety of disciplines, with the prompt International Tennis Star revealing four shouting men, with not a Williams sister in sight. But a gender bias is not the only issue exposed by the experiment. When you do include woman in your keywords, imagery tends to be sexualized, with buxom women with unbuttoned shirts and pouty lips. Another huge bias is around diversity. The images these platforms generate overwhelmingly skew white, as well as male. So, how will the platforms deal with these gender and racial biases in the future? You'll have to watch this space. And that's it for this week's Media Weekly News. I'll hand you back to Chris and Gianluca.
Thanks, Angela, for the news in another non-stop media week. Lots going on as ever, right?
Absolutely. Maybe we can start on that Break of Silence campaign by In Lesca. I mean, we say it all the time on the podcast, so it's no surprise, but I think it just really points to the important relationship between media and creative and how media can help supercharge creative impact in culture by striking powerful collaborations and deploying them at the right place at the right time, right?
Yeah, I mean, completely right. I mean, we couldn't be happier and prouder that the work from PhD over in LATAM from Alan and all the team over there for In Lesca has been crowned number one in the world in terms of awarded campaigns for media. And of course, that and a whole lot of other work has gotten PhD into number two in that rankings as well globally, which for our size probably means we're number one. It's amazing work and an absolute testament to the team there and the fact that it's punched through and really got attention and really got the recognition that we obviously all think it deserves is just amazing.
Definitely. I think it must really speak to what must have been a really strong client agency relationship there, right, to make it all happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see research on this. I think it's something that we all know intrinsically. We all know this. Anyone who's worked in the industry for any length of time understands that when you've got those long-standing client partner agency relationships, you do get a culture in which people can be braver. You get a culture in which people can recommend things or try things. And as a result of that, you get work. You actually get better briefs, I think, actually. I think that one of the things you get in good, long-standing, trusted agency-client relationships is that you get an opportunity and you get a position where people are comfortable challenging the brief, and that generates better briefs. And a better brief is a starting point for any good bit of work that you see out in market.
Absolutely. I think transparency and trust are just the bedrock for creativity and discussion to lead to great work. And just to touch on that last news item regarding gender bias being uncovered in AI platforms, I think this really points to how there are still absolutely inroads to be made to develop how these AI tools work as a force for good in society. And it's important to be mindful of the risks involved and the safety measures to take should you be thinking about harnessing AI at this point in time. And we actually have some great points coming up on this from Sophia.
Can't wait to hear it. And kudos to One Green Bean for raising such an important and timely topic in Women's History Month as well. That and lots more to stay across and discuss. And as always, we want you to be part of the conversation. If you've got any questions, thoughts, or opinions on this week's news or anything that's shaping your media week, please do get in touch with us. You can reach us by email at maketheleap@phdmedia.com. That's maketheleap@phdmedia.com.
Coming up now, I speak with Sophia Perez about the topic on everyone's lips these days, generative AI. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
Today, creating a media campaign requires a diverse range of experts from different organizations and different locations. Providing a shared online environment where they can build a campaign is now a necessity. Omni Studio brings everyone together into one campaign planning platform. Marketers can explore existing media campaigns, create new ones, and collaborate in their development. Change how you plan your marketing with Omni Studio from PhD Media, the only collaborative campaign planning platform of its kind. Omni Studio, creating remarkable campaigns, creating remarkable growth. Check out phdmedia.com to find out more.
Today, I'm speaking to Sophia Perez, PhD Global Strategy Director, about generative AI. Last year, PhD sponsored Sophia to join the IPA Excellence Diploma in Brands, where she won the President's Award for Best Body of Work. One of her projects was an essay on the impact of technology on people's decision-making and how that would affect marketing. In her essay, Sophia argues that artificial intelligence and human intelligence are increasingly merging to give rise to a new way of thinking, calling it System 3, that helps us rapidly solve problems and make decisions, freeing up space to engage with our senses, emotions, and experiences. This will obviously have far-reaching implications on marketing and how we connect with consumers. Welcome, Sophia. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thank you.
It's so good to have you. And I'm sure I'm not alone when I say that I'm incredibly excited to get into this topic. I'm sure our listeners think the same. We've been teasing a generative AI episode on the show for a while now. So, you know, to start with, let's take a little step back. You know, 6 months ago, the concept of fully merging human and artificial intelligence would have probably felt a bit dystopian, but it's already happening, isn't it? Thanks to the public release of ChatGPT and other generative AI tools at the end of last year. So against that context, Sophia, can you tell us, you know, about your essay for the IPA and what is happening with that collapsing gap between human and artificial intelligence?
Yeah, the key concept that I put forward in the essay is that we're no longer system one and two, only that. For those who are not familiar with that, system one and two are concepts coined by Daniel Kahneman. He wrote Thinking Fast and Slow. He's a renowned psychologist, a Nobel Prize winner. So in very simplified terms, what he did is he split how our brain works into a system one, which is fast and intuitive, and a system two, which is slow and rational. Now, by default, we use system one most of the time. Our brains are optimized for efficiency. So whatever is easier, our brain goes for it. But when we face a more challenging task, like if I ask you how much is 17 times 33, you will be using system two. Now, what is happening is that technology merged with our intelligence is becoming our system three, where that rational thinking that was previously slow becomes extremely fast. And as you said, that has huge implications on how people's decision-making, how brand and product choices will be made. So let me give you an example. 20 years ago, if you wanted to buy a vacuum cleaner, you'd rely on what you knew about the brand or the brands you're considering. Maybe you'd ask some tips from the family and from the salesman at the shop. Now, a few years ago with Amazon, you started accessing the reviews of other people online. That is a big thing. You can access 30,000 reviews on Amazon. Now, and this is a simplified example, here comes ChatGPT. So I can now copy all the reviews, 30,000 reviews on, you know, vacuum cleaners, and ChatGPT can summarize what people like, don't like, in just a few sentences, but based on the criteria that I value the most. It's just accelerates my decision process 1 million times. So in summary, it will increase not just the speed of the decision making, but actually also the accuracy on what is the best choice for our individual needs.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just so great, isn't it? Because I think we mentioned at the start that, you know, this idea of merging human and artificial intelligence can sound quite dystopian. And there's, you know, lots of debates going around the implications. But when you put it like that, you know, you can really understand like the amazing power that it could have, right?
You know, it will change how we make decisions as consumers, but also it impacts how we make decisions as marketeers. We have two types of thinking in our brains. We have a convergent thinking. So that's when we extract information to create meaning. And then we have divergent thinking, which is when we create new information, like an idea or a poem, for example. Now, previous, AI was capable of convergent thinking. For example, you know, the algorithm that we see on YouTube that is really clever, it recommends the next video to you based on, you know, the millions of people that have watched that video, what they watched next. And then what AI does is it repeats the recommendation to me. That is convergent. But what generative AI can do now is it diverge. So not only can analyze data, but it can also create new data. It creates synthetic data. It can write essays and poems. It edits and structures emails, summarize books, write books. There's also text to image, which creates, you know, these realistic images or art from a description that we input in natural language. And that's the example of Midjourney or Stable Diffusion or DALL-E. Those are a few of the tools. But also there's audio to text, like there's Whisper. And there's so many new tools being built now. The list is massive.
Yeah. And the way that I also see it and be astonished by it is, you know, AI doesn't just help kind of just condense information or find information really quickly. It can really create, you know, it can create art per se. And I know there's lots of discourses around that, but it could also facilitate creativity for the humans using it themselves. It's just so fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And you're right, like, it's, we've made the step of you know, like, well, we, OpenAI has made the step of launching this into consumers. And obviously that will have a big impact in the industry, because now it gets to the point where, like, how does it change how we use this to communicate with consumers? And we're really in just early stages, you know, in both in generating images or text or video. But what we can do, like you mentioned creation, there's so much that we can create. A lot of what has been talked about recently in terms of communication with consumers is customer service chatbots. And that is just an easy way of using it, if it's done with the right information and safety, etc. But also in terms of creating, it can create personalized content inside apps, like motivation coaches and personas that really sound like humans, making jokes, playing games, and offering suggestions that, you know, really go towards what you need. But in the future, generative AI has the capacity to be integrated into online communities. Like, think about gaming or web 3.0, and it can act as a peer, even a friend there, recommending products in a way that is seamless. So a brand can create, you know, virtual but very relatable characters interacting with people, you know, creating content that will go towards what people want and are talking about. Obviously, there's massive legal and ethical implications here. You know, the European Union AI Act has already established companies must declare when a consumer is talking to AI, or is it, or are they talking to another human? So a lot of things need to happen before, you know, things are used to communicate to the consumers. It's still really an unknown.
So Sophia, needless to say, AI has the power to impact all aspects of how consumers live their lives and how they consume content. So it follows that it will impact our industry as marketers and the decisions we make to better communicate with them, right? So how do you see generative AI changing how we communicate with consumers as well as how we work as marketers?
What GPT has made clear is that AI has developed to the point where it can support creativity. And we have used AI in the past for quite a while. We've optimized media channels, managing the data that runs the media channels. But now this is a game changer, because it can help us with the creation, you know, like content creation, creative development, but even like simple things like project management and productivity, summarizing meetings, emails, sending next steps emails to everyone. It can do that quickly. There's a really interesting opportunity for us, working on global teams, which is content consistency. When we think about global brands, it can have a massive benefit to uniformize global comms. Like a simple command to ChatGPT would be to ask, could you rewrite this to match the style of this other one, or to match the style of the global guidance? Another example is creative development, you know, using generative AI to source images, illustrate creative for our campaigns, provide inspiration to our direction. If you think about, you know, there's an example of the winner of a Colorado State Fair arts competition in the US last year. It was controversial because he used Midjourney against real artists to create a beautiful painting. And he won, but it wasn't just a click. He spent 80 hours perfecting his work over 900 iterations. That's 2 weeks of full work doing just that. So it's not the machine doing magic, you know, it's us doing the magic with the machine. So if we think about how do we use generative AI, we need to think about it as a thought partner. It will not produce the final product. It will not substitute us. It will help us to get there better and faster. And Google also supported this, you know, launching Bard. They say, you know, Bard is not search. It should not be search because the information is not always accurate. It is supposed to be used as a creative companion.
Yeah, I really like that take. You know, it's almost like on the one hand, it can help us with efficiency, you know, streamlining all streamlining our work, making it consistent, but also helping us from an advertising point of view in and around effectiveness, right? In terms of the ultimate creative output that it can help us with. But, and I also like the fact how, you know, I think perhaps, I suppose, us as marketers, we need to start getting good at, you know, asking these prompts and asking the right prompts, right? To get the best out of AI, would you say?
First thing that we need to do is to provide the right direction. We need to ask the right questions and define the right parameters and criteria. And that's how you, you know, that's how you can get to creativity, and that's how you move forward with a machine.
And thinking about the world of brands that we operate in, you know, do you have any brands in mind who are already using generative AI to better communicate with consumers?
There's an interesting market dynamic now because consumers are already playing with the tools. So there's pressure for companies to start using them. But companies are just starting, and a lot needs to happen in the background for brands to apply it. You know, there's barriers for brands like safety and privacy and other ethical concerns. Also investment. It's a huge investment to go for. But a few examples of companies that have started. Mattel, they've used, you know, like in the background, they've used DALL-E, OpenAI's image generator, to come up with ideas for their, you know, Hot Wheels toys. Another example of a brand using this, Snapchat, they have incorporated a bot, can create content for, it's just for experimental, again, some of their users, 2 million users. It can write, you know, short poems or, you know, make jokes for your friends, for example.
So on that note, Sophia, looking ahead really, so for marketers that are curious about what generative AI can do for them and their brands, you know, what are some big bets and opportunities that they should be aware of getting into this?
So two things, really. How do we leverage this for the future? AI technologies use data to learn from and train their models. So the more data as a company we can set up, the better the work will be. So thinking about data modeling and design within the company so that is available within the system. So that's one thing. Think about data available within the company. Another one... and this might be surprising, but investing in people language skills and, you know, like problem solving, problem questioning. It used to be about, you know, like the coders, the programmers, the mathematical minds. With this development, is about people who dominate the language, who can use the right prompts, who can use the right language. So bring back that expertise into the company and the team.
And do you think that now is the time for, you know, all brands to at least experiment and give things a go and start learning, you know, almost no matter who they are and what journey they're on as brands? Or do you think that, you know, some brands are just better placed to start experimenting over others?
I think, you know, like when we talk about experimenting and innovating, which I 100% advocate, we need to think that there is a lot of risks involved in this specific experimentation. You know, like this is not the early 2000s when, you know, the thing was move fast and break things. So we need to make sure that everything we do is ethical. It considers the risks to consumers and to companies. The easiest and maybe the highest and best place to start is to establish a set of ethical values you want for your business or for your brand. And then sort through how do you operationalize those values into a framework that then determines a lens through which you will evaluate risk. Obviously, you know, fairness, privacy are really important values, but think also about security, transparency, you know, safety. It's important to understand in each market and for each industry what regulations are in place. And, you know, in regulation, legislation is really far behind in this area. It's really important for companies to self-regulate. You know, in 2016, you know, the big ones, big tech, like Google, Meta, Amazon, Microsoft, they all got together to found Partnership AI, which is a nonprofit to regulate AI. But we're seeing competition spiraling out of control. So it's I think it would be wise to self-regulate.
I think you raised some really important points about, you know, really bearing in mind risks involved, the safety measures you should think about taking on board. But, you know, thinking more broadly then, if you were to leave our listeners with one final piece of advice to take on board for generative AI, what would that be?
Two things, if that's okay. Two things. Do not rush. You know, like doing it first doesn't mean that you have an advantage. You know, actually seeing what consumers are doing, what other companies are doing is an amazing way to test waters and, you know, test tech usage. Mira Murati, she's a chief technology officer at OpenAI. And, you know, she herself, she said, I'm curious to see the areas where, you know, it will start generating utility for people and not just novelty and pure curiosity. So not even the, you know, like not even the OpenAI minds know where is this is going next. So don't rush. Let's see what is happening. And finally, this is the second thing. When you decide, you know, what to do, focus on the needs of the user and the business, and then think about how generative AI can help deliver on these. So do not rush. When you decide to act, act with utility.
Well, Sophia, I think that's a fantastic piece of advice to end on. And one last thing I would add before we close is that I encourage everyone listening to check out Sophia's award-winning essay on System 3 and how it will bring us to our senses. It's a read you won't want to miss. We'll provide a link in the show notes. So thank you so much, Sophia, for joining us and for the brilliant discussion on generative AI.
Thank you. I hope I can come next because there's so much to talk about this.
I know, it's such a rapidly evolving space, so I don't think this will be our last conversation.
And that's it for this episode of the Media Weekly from PhD. Remember, you can get in touch with any feedback or questions for the team here at the Media Weekly by emailing us at maketheleap@phdmedia.com. A big thank you to Sophia Perez and to you for listening. To find out more about PhD and what we do, including some pretty groundbreaking campaigns that are really well awarded, which puts us arguably top of the WARC rankings, head to phdmedia.com.
We'll be back next week with a brilliant all-women's takeover of the Media Weekly to celebrate Women's History Month. So make sure you subscribe to the Media Weekly wherever you get your podcasts. Until then, enjoy making some media leaps in the week ahead, wherever you are in the world.
Bye, everyone.
Bye for now.